The public opinion polls on rights for gay people in America are very different from what they looked like a decade ago. Especially on gay marriage, there's been a complete turnaround on opinion in society, which made it easier, no doubt, for the U.S. Supreme Court to declare same-sex marriage legal across the country. It took a lot of people and a lot of effort to change the way people think about gay rights. And one of those people central to the cause in Oregon is moving on. Gina Frazzini is leaving her post as co-executive director at Basic Rights Oregon. She's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange today to talk about that transition. Gina, thanks for joining us once again.
You bet, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
This is a long relationship with Basic Rights Oregon. Walk us back to how you got started there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm in my 17th year with the organization. I originally started volunteering way back in the early 90s when I first moved to Oregon. And that was, of course, before the organization existed. But we grew out of those anti-gay ballot measure attacks that plagued the state for many, many years. And I was invited to join the board of Basic Rights Oregon in 2000, shortly after the organization had formed in 1996. So I served in a leadership role there for 5 years before joining the team and serving in a variety of roles in the first few years, and then being promoted to executive director in 2008.
So give us an idea of the landscape you found when you started. You mentioned some ballot measures that certainly had led to the creation of groups like Basic Rights Oregon. What was going on at the time?
Sure. Well, you know, Oregon was a testing ground for anti-gay policies for so many years. I think anyone who's been around for a while has certainly heard of Measure 9 in 1992. That was the most vicious of the attacks. And the landscape, you know, back in the mid-1990s when the organization formed was really one of a community under attack and on the defensive. And the activists and organizers and community leaders that had been coordinating these campaigns year in and year out really saw a need for an ongoing organization that could coordinate volunteers, coordinate donors, and really build power for the LGBT community in Oregon to be in a position to actually not just push back against attack, but advance proactive rights for the community. And that's really what this last, 15, 16 years has been about. It's been, we had our last anti-gay ballot measure, of course, in 2004 was Measure 36, the marriage amendment. But from that point forward, it's all been about advancing equality and increasing the dignity, the respect, and the legal rights of LGBTQ people in this state.
There have been several waves, as I think you pointed out. I mean, a group called the Oregon Citizens Alliance got an executive order protecting gay people from discrimination repealed through the ballot in the mid-80s. That was later nullified by the court, but the OCA used that to gain so much power that ultimately took over the Oregon Republican Party for several years through the 80s and into the 90s. What was the sense in the movement for LGBT rights of gains and losses by the time you got to executive director? Was there a sense of every advance was met by a retreat?
There's definitely been that sense of, three steps forward, two steps back. And, by 2007, the end of 2007, when I came into the executive director role, we had just come off of the largest victory our community had ever seen. We passed two major pieces of legislation in the 2007 legislative session, the Oregon Equality Act that once and for all ensured that you could no longer be fired or refused housing anywhere in the state of Oregon simply based on your sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. And the Oregon Family Fairness Act, which was a comprehensive domestic partnership law that we passed as a, as sort of a stopgap measure while we continued to work towards the freedom to marry. So those sort of historic bills were passed and then immediately challenged by referendum. The opposition sought to put them on the ballot to be repealed. Similar to what they had done with that executive order you mentioned in 1988, and they ultimately failed to get the signatures required to put those on the ballot. So that was a really, I think, heady and exciting time for the community and for our allies.
Gina Frazzini is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the outgoing executive director at Basic Rights Oregon. You can join our conversation on the exchange. Questions for Gina, some observations about the struggles that Basic Rights Oregon has been a part of. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. It seems like the kinds of things that you celebrate and mourn can be, a long list of things. I mean, when you're talking about potentially celebrating something like people not getting enough signatures to get to the ballot. Is there a situation, though, where in the LGBTQ community you don't ever get to where you're really celebrating unabashedly because you're not sure if there's going to be another setback down the road?
pardon me. I think there's a lot of courage and resilience in this community and surrounding us with our friends and family, and that certainly has been built up over time of going through so many different struggles and seeing setbacks. You know, I think one of the worst was probably 2004 when we had, 3,022 couples married in Multnomah County during that short window when marriage licenses were issued. And every one of those couples received then later that year a refund check in the mail as the courts had nullified those marriages. And that was just sort of a particularly stinging and painful time for folks. Of course, it was followed by our state voters passing Measure 36, the marriage amendment, another really painful time, I think, which ultimately led to the resolve to come together and pass, the landmark legislation that I was just discussing that first came very close to passing in 2005 and then ultimately in 2007. But you do see that, and you see it not only in the, you see that courage and resilience not only in the, in regard to the public sphere and the sort of policy advocacy and the work that's done in the community, but you see it in people's everyday lives, the way in which folks face ongoing discrimination socially and the ways in which our culture hasn't always caught up to our legal equality. So folks' everyday lives remain oftentimes quite challenging, especially if you're an LGBTQ person of color or a trans person where significant barriers still exist.
And what would you say are some of the barriers that really need some attention still?
Certainly the cultural shift, the acceptance and the understanding from communities large and small. Folks that live in a bubble like Portland have a very different experience than those that are living in our smaller or towns or rural areas. The acceptance and the respect from the broader faith community. There's been so much incredible work done within communities of faith, both among both among leaders, but also entire sort of faith traditions in embracing the wholeness and the beauty and the the godly image that exists among LGBT people, just like anyone else. So those are some of the things. But there's also just sort of basics of full access to health care, freedom from discrimination based on the color of your skin or your immigration status. These things hit folks that are LGBTQ even harder because they're living at an intersection of, identities that are often discriminated against. Being gay and an immigrant is just that much harder for folks.
Gina Frazzini, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the outgoing executive director of Basic Rights Oregon. We're talking about the gains made over the years since she became executive director, actually since before that when she got first involved with what became Basic Rights Oregon. You can join us on the exchange. Questions and comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Right down to where the rubber meets the road, help people who are not members of the LGBTQ community understand the kinds of things that were not available to members of the LGBTQ community 10, 15 years ago that are now, things that everybody else took for granted.
Well, I mean, just the basics, this has been we're just coming off of the 4th of July holiday weekend, right? And folks have been out spending time with families, camping trips and barbecues and travel. And when you get back to work, the next day, just the freedom to openly, talk with your coworkers about what you did with your long weekend without fear of losing your job. That's only been, you know, the case in or in all of Oregon since the non-discrimination law went into effect in 2008. Our state Medicaid program is not even, you know, 2 years into covering all of the health care that is needed for transgender Oregonians. There have been incredible barriers to accessing basic, simple, life-saving medical care that persists today, particularly around, you know, access to competent providers. There are some things that folks just take, a lot of people just take for granted in their day-to-day lives that, you know, that really have been barriers for LGBT people in our state and that persist across many states in this country even today.
Talk about the process of building coalitions over the years. I mean, who are some of the organizations that that really aided the movement once Basic Rights Oregon could bring them into the fold?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of, the work that we've been able to do at Basic Rights Oregon, and that's the way in which we've embraced a sort of broader social justice agenda that's inclusive of racial justice, immigrant rights, and, of course, transgender justice. We have a broad network of coalition partners, not just in the state of Oregon, but all across this country. And some of the key partners here in Oregon include CAUSA, our immigrant rights, Latino immigrant rights partners, APANO that works with Asian Pacific Americans. We work very closely with a coalition called the Fair Shot Coalition that includes Family Forward Oregon, partners at Planned Parenthood. The ACLU has long been an important partner, and the work we do together through Fair Shot is looking at economic justice policies, minimum wage, family leave, medical leave, those types of things, really working to ensure that everyone in Oregon has an equal opportunity.
And so, Gina, what are your thoughts on the status of LGBTQ rights at the moment? I mean, on one hand, you've got the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage, essentially making it legal in all states, despite the resistance of Alabama, for example. But then you've also got the North Carolina bathroom bill, HB2, out there at the same time.
Yeah. You know, it's really been heartbreaking to see what's been happening in states across the country, these really vicious pieces of legislation that put folks, you know, lives at risk, basically. There's a lot of work left to be done, and I think, you know, that's why I'm so excited about the really powerful and solid foundation that we've built at Basic Rights Oregon and the leadership that's emerged to take the organization to the next level. I could not be more excited about the current co-executive director team that'll carry the work forward as I step away. Nancy Hawk, who I've worked with for the last year as my co-director, and then Amy Hertzfeld, who's been on our team as our movement building director for the last 2 years, has just been promoted. So for the last few weeks I'm at the organization, I get to be their cheerleader and trainer and coach, and soon they'll take things off on their own.
This sounds like the last days of high school, signing yearbooks and not getting any classwork done.
You know, it does feel a little bit like that to me, particularly the waves of emotion that are attached to this, you know, this moment.
No doubt. Talk about, in addition to the coalitions that you've been able to build at Basic Rights Oregon, the support from public officials. It seems like certainly legislators were a bit more reluctant, say, 10, 15 years ago to get involved. How much easier is that now, particularly in the context of Oregon having the country's first bisexual governor?
Sure. Well, you know, I think one of the silver linings of the attack that our communities faced for so many years in such a public way with the anti-gay and anti-transgender ballot measures is that it really forced a public dialogue a lot sooner than many states had it, and it brought out allies, and those allies today are some of the, you know, top leaders in our state, people like Senator Jeff Merkley and Senator Wyden, folks like Attorney General Alan Rosenblum, and then members of our own community that have advanced, as you mentioned, Governor Brown. Tina Kotek is the first out lesbian speaker of a state house, our house speaker. So, you know, we do see just across the board in folks like I've mentioned, and Brad Avakian in the Bureau of Labor and Industries and so forth, a real embrace of the community and really thoughtful leadership that's, you know, looking at what are the ways that our state is meeting the needs of LGBT people and what do we still need to get done. And it's really, it's such a blessing to have that kind of leadership. And, you know, we've worked to cultivate that through having an equality path that works with candidates. We do educational forums. You know, a candidate can't get the endorsement of the Basic Rights Equality Path without going through educational forums about the needs of LGBTQ people, and that has really helped to open folks' eyes and educate them and help them be better policymakers for everyone in our community.
So, Gina, what finally led the decision to move on? Was there a checklist in a drawer somewhere where you said, okay, got this done, got this done, got this done, okay, now I'm ready to go?
I wish I was that organized. You know, this is really a combination for me of my own sort of need to step back and take a bit of a break and kind of reassess what's next for me as my, you know, I've got two boys that are, one's on the precipice of teenagerhood. He's a 12-year-old and clearly needs a little bit more guidance than, you know, than I can provide with a job this big. I'm about to get married this fall, which I'm really excited about and want to space to focus on that. And I'm also just, I've been very aware that, you know, there's just one or two jobs like mine in a state like Oregon, and it's a precious, amazing opportunity to be able to lead in such an incredible community, and to be able to make the space for others to do that, and to bring, you know, really different life experience and perspective and skills to take the organization into the next 20 years. Is a real, it's a privilege to be able to make the space for that to happen and to have some time to take care of myself. So it's just a real, I think, great timing.
A lot going on in your life. So congratulations on the pending nuptials and condolences on having teenagers in the house. But they're still human beings. They're great people to have. So thanks so much for joining us today. We're talking to Gina Frazzini, who has been the longtime co-executive director at Basic Rights Oregon, turning the reins over to Nancy Hawk and Amy Hertzfeld. Gina, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
I'm glad to do it. Thank you.
Okay. Pleasure to have you.